Donald Trump, who has built city parks, who's dated black women, he actually funded Jesse Jackson's presidential run. So who are you going to look at and say, all right, I'm a black man, I'm a black woman, this is the bad guy, right? How do you make sense of stuff like that?
The second Joe Biden said,
if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community.
He should have gotten 0% of the black vote. Imagine if Trump had actually said that. If he went on a black radio show and said that, they would be riots in the streets. CNN would have a month-long special. Joe Biden yesterday went on a news program and said, oh, I just want the black community to know I've got your back. Black folk in America, Democrats don't have your back. It's like, I keep saying, it's like going to the strip club and you think that one stripper really loves you. She doesn't love you. She just wants your money, just like the Democrat Party.
Hey guys, time out. Let's take a break from the conversation. I want to remind you that the price of gold recently hit an all-time new high. That's right. Gold to silver price ratio is also close to a record high, which means that silver is lagging the price of growth of gold and is primed to make a move even higher, folks. United Patriot Coin stocks a huge variety of gold and silver coins and bars, and they want to help you start or add to your precious metal stockpile. Now, here's the deal. United Patriot Coin has created a special promotion exclusively for Chad Prather Show viewers to get them started in metals investing. So with this offer, you get 4 ounces of pure investment quality silver, including shipping, for only $100. That's right. You're going to get 4 coins, each containing 1 troy ounce of pure silver. And you can choose from your designs like the Don't Tread on Me, the Right to Bear Arms, Indian Head, Lady Liberty, a whole bunch of others. You can take a look. Now, here's what I want you to do. The offer is too good for you to pass up, but it's also too good for them to put on their website. So you got to call them in order to order this. And you want to talk to them anyway. They're cool dudes. In order to get this, you got to call United Patriot Coin's Texas-based team, 844-202-7834. United Patriot Coin knows that 4 ounces isn't going to make you rich. It's not going to change your big overall financial portfolio, but they want to make you an offer that everybody can take advantage of. And I promise you, you want to do this. And once you see how they work and you get to know them, get a chance to talk to their experts about building out a custom precious metals portfolio for the larger nest egg you're really trying to protect, it's going to be a big help and a step in the right direction. So learn more about them and see more of their inventory at UnitedPatriotCoin.com. UnitedPatriotCoin.com. When you call them up, mention the Chad Prather silver offer when you get them on the phone. 844-202-7834. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. We're going to get into it in a minute. I want to encourage all of you to go over to watchchad.com. That's where all the fun stuff is. Catch me out on the road doing some live shows. We're all over the country. And we're having a good time, man. I'll tell you what, it's crazy. You better get those tickets before they sell out because they have been selling out. So I'd love to see you out there. And 2024 is a crazy year, man. We're having a lot of fun with it. There's so many insane things that are happening in our world. We might as well make a little fun of it and, you know, laugh a little bit because, good Lord, who knows what's coming our way? It's just absolute lunacy at this point. Also want to encourage you, while you're watching, to head over to where podcasts are offered. Leave a 5-star rating. We deserve 5 stars, dadgummit, 5 stars. And leave us a review. I want a review. I don't care what you say. You can call me fat, call me ugly. They do call me fat a lot these days, man. It's these cameras. It's the focal lengths on the camera, Shy, I'm telling you, because I ain't fat, baby. This is 220 pounds. That's pure sexy. It's a little fat. All right. But listen, go over and leave a review. I want to hear from you. You can also drop me a line, Chad, at thechadprathershow.com. All right. So many fun things. So many crazy things that are going on in the world. One of my favorite followers on X, and I've recently followed him on Instagram, is a fellow by the name of Zeke Arkham. And if you're not following him, I want you to. You spell Zeke with 2 E's in the middle, okay? Z-E-E-K. We'll put it down there at the bottom so you can follow him. But this guy calls it like it is. And you know how I am. I like to stir the pot a little bit. He likes to stir the pot a little bit. I think you have to do that, right? You got to ridicule. You got to mock a little bit. You got to call folks out. But at the same time, you got to make a point. And those are my favorite people who do that. So joining me now is Zeke Arkham. Zeke, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me on. You know, daylight savings been been kicking all of our butts, but I think we're all right. I think we're going to do okay.
We're going to survive. We're still young enough. We'll make it. Tell me about you. Tell me what you – I know that obviously you're expanding your voice online and your social media platform and all of that, and you're using it the way I like it, which is so effective. But, you know, we don't just wake up one day and say, well, we don't just wake up one day and, you know, when we're in college or kids and go, you know, I think I'm going to grow up to be a social media platform influencer or something like that, or a political or cultural commentator. Where are you from? Where do you live? What do you do? I mean, like people always ask me, like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, it's weird to answer that question anymore.
Well, I'm born and raised in the People's Republic of New York. I remember when it wasn't the People's Republic of New York, so I have fond memories of growing up and playing outside with my friends, and people seemed to have a better head on their shoulders back then. And I'm looking at what my state has become, and now I'm one of the ones, my wife and I were looking at real estate in Florida right now. You know, we'd like to move back to America, so... That's where I'm from. I first started my account really just to give my perspective, you know, just from a law enforcement perspective, from a perspective of someone who was just sitting in my shoes. And I said, you know, there's no one really out there with a voice like mine. So let me get out there and stir the pot a little bit, be a little bit of a internet flamethrower. And see what happens. You know, a lot of my friends and family were getting tired of me ranting on my personal Facebook page about what was going on in our state and going on in our country. So they all said, you know, you should either run for office or get a bigger platform, do something else. And that's what I did. And it just started taking off. I had one viral post where I sort of went off on Colin Kaepernick. And it went off from there. A lot more people started tuning in, and I guess, as they say, that's where the legend began.
I love it. And you know what? Colin Kaepernick's a good person to go off on, in my opinion. So kudos to you, and well chosen, my friend. But you're a cop, right? I mean, and that's in New York as well. I mean, that's got to have plenty of challenges. I was recently, you know, I go out and do comedy around the country. And my agent reached out to me with some offers, and because I used to go to upstate New York. I've done all over New York. I've done shows over the years, from Manhattan to upstate. But even recently, they said we want you to come to, where was it, Syracuse and Albany, which I've always had great times there. But I'm like, you know, I don't think I want to go. Like, I don't want to go because it's just different now. The whole thing is different now. And then with Kathy Hochul as the governor, it's just some of her policies are just weird. And it's like, why do I want to go boost the economy in some of these places that I know I disagree? And listen, don't get me wrong. There's good people in those places. There's good people everywhere. But why do I want to go do that? You know, growing up in New York, bro, I mean, I got to agree. It's time to get out. I mean, I think maybe that's the only way to send that message. I mean, is there – somebody sent me a message this morning, and I'll ask you. Because they were talking about America, but you look at places like California, New York, and is there any hope for the future of those places?
The hopeful part of me says that there is, and one day people will wake up. But the pragmatist in me, the guy that goes out there and sees things every day, I don't know. I don't think so. Just because you've got these limousine liberals who. As long as it's not affecting them, as long as it's not in their backyard or on their front step, they couldn't care less, you know. So they're going to vote for more illegals to come into the state. They're going to vote for more socialist Democrat policies. They're going to vote for, I don't like Trump because he just seems like such a horrible person. They're going to have that kind of look at it because it doesn't affect them. You know, none of this is going to reach their golden gates, My hope is that in a sort of, I guess, somewhat sadistic way, is that it does reach their front step, that it does reach their backyard, that it does start affecting them personally. And then they can go, hey, wait a minute, maybe we need to start voting differently. You know, I'm on Long Island where it's a lot more conservative and we vote more conservatively. You know, you've got Long Island, which is pretty conservative. You've got upstate, which is pretty conservative. It's New York City, the five boroughs that are messing it up for the entire state. So, like I said, when it starts really reaching their backyards and it's looking them in the face, then they might vote differently. I think they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want lower crime, they want law and order, but they want to vote in socialist Democrats who don't believe in any of that and somehow hope that there's a meeting in between. And they just have to, I guess, wake up to the reality of the situation and figure out, hey, listen, if we want law and order, we have to vote for law and order, not socialism.
Yeah. You know, I've always said that the pendulum swings. I mean, it can only go so far out before it swings back. But my God, they are really pushing the limits on this thing. I've got, you know, I got some good friends that live on Long Island, and they talk about how, you know, it's such a different world. And I've been to Long Island, and I know that it's different. It's crazy. It's like I say about California. I used to go out and do shows in California, and it was always my most supportive state every year. It was weird. I mean, 16, 17 cities a year in California. And those folks would show up, man. And I said, there's some really good people out there. They're just getting screwed over by the bureaucracy of those big cities. Like you talk about the five boroughs of New York City. They're screwing up the whole thing for everybody. Upstate the same way. So I think it's going to take a new generation. Like people have just said, you know, listen, we've got 100,000 migrants living on our streets. Illegals are everywhere, taken away. And again, the biggest thing, and I'd love to hear your take on this. Like, I see these open border situations with all of these illegals that are coming in the country. I mean, hundreds of thousands of them, millions of them. I think the black community, the urban community specifically, that has a little more dependence on government and the welfare system and tends towards a little more poverty level, they're going to be affected first and foremost more than anybody else. What do you think about that?
Hey, guys, let's take a quick little break here while I tell you about one of the largest selections of firearms and ammunition and accessories available online. You don't know about this. This is a honey hole. Their inventory includes some of that hard-to-find stuff that other gun shops don't have. Chances are, if you're looking for it, United Patriot Supply has it. They've got a great selection on ammunition, tons of 5.56, 7.62. 9mm. Right now, they're running a silver incentive program. You buy a firearm, you get free silver with your order. You get a free ounce of silver for every $500 spent on guns, up to 5 free ounces. So if you got a firearm purchase of $2,500 or more, listen, it's a good deal. This offer is a combined promotion between United Patriot Supply and our good friends at United Patriot Coin. I want you to shop online, check them out, see what they got. Do some perusing and some purchasing at UnitedPatriotSupply.com, UnitedPatriotSupply.com. Go get it.
Joe Biden yesterday went on a news program and said, oh, I just want the black community to know I've got your back.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know, you've got Ukraine's back first. You've got illegals' backs first. You know, you've got the LGBTQ's back first. And then somewhere in the 20s, that's when you've got black Americans' backs. Mm. You know, it's you know, I keep saying black folk in America are going to really have to wake up to the fact that the Democrats don't love you. The Democrats don't have your back. They don't want what's best for you. It started with LBJ and it, you know, through Obama and now through Biden, they don't love you. They don't have your back. It's like, I keep saying, it's like going to the strip club and you think that one stripper really loves you. She doesn't love you. She just wants your money. Just like the Democrat Party. They don't love you. They just want your votes. They'll give you crumbs off the table. They'll give you Juneteenth. They'll give you the anti-lynching bill, which no one's been lynched in America since like 1983. They'll right. give you that bill and say, hey, look what we've done for you. But it's not happening. They don't love you. And thankfully, the pendulum in the black community is, I think, starting to swing back a little bit. I mean, you've got those diehards who are just like, no, we must vote Democrat, you know, and you just kind of look at them and go, well, bless your heart. But, you know, the pendulum is kind of starting to swing back. I'm starting to see more and more black people, especially black males, say, you know what, this isn't working for me. I'm going to start voting for anybody but a Democrat and see what happens. You know, hopefully it starts to really go back that way. I think that's why the Democrats are, especially in this election year, trying to focus again on the black community and go, hey, you know, remember us, you know, remember what we've done for you. But I think it's too little too late. You know, people aren't dumb. They're looking around their neighborhoods. They're starting to see, you know, we're getting kicked out of recreational centers. We're getting kicked out of affordable housing and they're putting illegals in. Illegals are staying in five-star hotels being paid for by far-left politicians with your tax money. Meanwhile, you know, you don't have a job. You don't have a means of income. You've got people like Kathy Hochul who says she wants to make state jobs available for illegals. Meanwhile, unemployment in New York in the black community is at an all-time high. So hopefully people start waking up. Hopefully people start looking around and saying, you know what? Let me vote differently. Let me diversify my vote and see how it works out for me. You've got nothing left to lose. You know, you're already at rock bottom. Diversify your vote. And that's my message.
That's a good message. You know, and it frustrates me because people, you know, I bring up these issues a lot on my social media about what goes on. And let me be clear, because you and I just met. And it's so good to meet you because I've been a fan of yours for a long time now. And I put this stuff out there. And I hate the phrase, people who watch this show know this, I hate the phrase black community, right? It's like, come on. It's like, but I understand also people are dealing with different things, different demographics, and it has nothing to do with the color of your skin, but different demographics are dealing with different issues in this country. So, you know, I kind of strain at the limitations of human language of how to communicate this. But people are like, you know, you don't, you know, who are you? You're a country boy that, you know, grew up, blah, blah, blah. You ain't got no... You know, I was a ball player. I was an athlete for a long time, way up as an adult. I mean, I've heard the stories. I've been with the people. They were my, you know, different people that were on my teams. We stayed. I've always said, you know, we stayed in. You get to know another man when you have to stay four grown athletes in one hotel room with two double beds. You get to know each other real well. You hear each other's stories, right? You know, my buddy Jock Stevens, he played high school ball with me, went on to play football at Georgia. It was an incredible athlete. You know, you go knock on his door at 6 a.m. because he didn't have a car and I picked him up to go to high school. You know, you get to know people, you hear their stories, and then you just know that different people are dealing with different things. And so for me, it's heartbreaking. It really breaks my heart when you look at what the Democrat Party has done to the black community for so, so long. And the deception that's there. And all you got to do, Zeke, is, and I love doing this, it's a love hate. I go read your posts and then I look at the comments under your posts. And it's sad, right? You know, my girlfriend's always like, stop reading comments, it pisses you off. And I'm like, no, that's where you educate yourself on some of this stuff and see, one, how dumb and insane things are, but you see where people's perspectives are. And there's a lot of folks in there who say, oh, you know, you're just pandering to white people. You know, it's like, why do people, why is that their logical conclusion when all you're doing is just pointing out facts? Have you noticed that?
Oh, I've absolutely noticed it. And my DMs are actually a lot worse.
I can only imagine.
I usually say the public comments are mild compared to my DMs. But, you know, psychologically, people hate being called out. People hate being told you're wrong about what you're doing.
Right.
And when I go into my comments and I'm seeing how people, you know, listen, I always say, you can call me a name, you can call me a slur, you can call me this, call me that. What you can't call me is wrong. Mm. You can't come back with facts. And as long as I know I'm on the side of truth, I'm gonna keep saying it. I'm gonna keep saying what I have to say. You know, I had a friend. He was actually one of my groomsmen at my wedding. And he sent me a DM. He follows me on Twitter. He sent me a DM. And he goes, I just want to remind you, you were black before you were a cop. And you were black before you started siding with the right wingers. And I said, okay, I understand that. I said, but what have I ever said that was factually wrong? I said, because the truth came before anything. It came before me. It came before anything. So what have I actually said that was factually wrong? I'm not taking a side unless it's on the side of the truth. So tell me. And he ended the conversation after that. I think he blocked me for a while too.
Yeah.
But you know, I tell people, you know, it's not about being on the side. It's not about trying to bend the truth in order to fit something into a certain agenda. It's not about any of that. It's about telling the truth. If someone is doing wrong, I'm going to call them out for doing wrong. If someone's doing right, I'm going to praise them for doing right. But you have to address the problem before you fix it. Trying to pretend the problem isn't there or trying to put a Band-Aid on it in order to make someone feel better or trying not to offend someone isn't the truth. You know, my grandmother always used to tell me, always preach the truth, whether it fills the room or empties it. And that's what I do. So people can come against me all they want. They can say, you know, you're just trying to appease this person or trying to appease that group. I'm not trying to appease anybody. I'm telling the truth. And if you have a problem with the truth, that's a you problem. That has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, and I think it's more revealing of the person that's criticizing you. Obviously, that reveals that that's how they operate in life. It's never crossed my mind of who's going to like this or not like this if I want to say something. I got people pissed off at me from all walks of life, every conservative bent. I mean, I have no idea, but I don't sit around thinking about that. It's like, listen, I love you as a human being. I pray for your soul. But at the end of the day, the most compassionate thing I can do is tell you the truth. If I keep lying to you and deceiving you. And so you're right. What you said earlier, you know, Joe Biden, when he did his State of the Union address, I think it took him 25 seconds from the beginning of that thing to mention Ukraine. So it was a Ukraine first message. It wasn't an America first message. So we should all universally be pissed off at that deal. You know, you had a great episode. I listened to it recently with Charlie Kirk, my buddy, and great hit on that deal. And you said so many wise things, and I don't want to steal that or even paraphrase it. I want to encourage people to go listen to Charlie's show a couple of episodes back with Zeke. And he brought up something funny that I had actually forgotten about. I remember seeing it when Charles Barkley said he was going to punch any black person who wore a Trump mugshot T-shirt, right? And you had one of those, and you posted that picture. Can I just say this, Zeke? If the shit goes down, I'm on your team, okay? All right? You're a big dude, and that was an intimidating picture. But, you know, Charles kind of bowed on that deal. How did that whole thing come out?
Well, I remember I was working, and I'm coming home from work, and my phone's going off with all my alerts. So I'm thinking, what's going on?
Right.
You know, is someone hurt? Like, that was my first thought, you know, just being a law enforcement. Is someone hurt? Is everyone okay? And everyone was tagging me in this picture saying, you know, with Charles Barkley saying he's going to punch someone if he sees him with the Trump mugshot. So I knew I had that shirt. So I said, okay, let's have some fun with this. So I got home. I changed. My wife took the picture. And I posted it. And I actually completely forgot that I posted it. And I think I looked at my phone about a half hour later, and it already had about 2,000 likes. I went, well, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then I saw it was getting shared all over the place. I had people who I hadn't spoken to in years texting me and going, hey, is that you in that picture? You know, so sending me the picture back going, is this you? You know, so... And then for Charles to actually address it and going, yeah, you know, I'm not going to actually punch anybody in the face. That was pretty funny. I said, hey, listen, I didn't expect to start off 2024 with a victory over Charles Barkley, you know. But, you know, listen, I was a fan of Charles Barkley back in the day. I grew up watching him play basketball. You know, I was a fan of the original Dream Team.
Yeah.
You know, listen. We as conservatives of any race, we're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to back down. We're not going to let you threaten us. You know, we're the side with all the guns. We're the side who wakes up early and hunts. You know, we're the ones with the blue collar jobs. We put our boots on and go to work. We're not going to be intimidated. So, you know, my message to Charles was, hey, listen, Charles, I'm a big dude too. You hit me, I'm gonna hit you back, you know. So, you know, my message to Charles still stands. Saying, hey, listen, if you ever do want to talk, you know, if you ever want to put the facts out there, you want to lay it on the table, I'd be more than happy to do so. You know, maybe it's just about a miseducation or just a lack of an education, you know. But I was just glad to have that pushback and to have an NBA legend back off of punching me.
I love it. And, you know, I think, which Charles has to be put in his place every now and then. I think Charles, he's a blowhard, obviously, but he means well in his heart a lot of times. And but you start learning that you mean a whole lot better than well when you see a dude come back at you who's got biceps as big around as your head. And Charles has a big head. So that closed that conversation pretty quick. I love it. But, you know, isn't it funny that that's kind of the stuff that goes viral is the stuff you're not even thinking about. It's just a response or a reaction to something, and then, boom, it blows up, and it becomes a huge thing. So that was funny, man. I'd forgotten about that for a second, but I got a kick out of it. I was reading through something you had tweeted about your neighbors, and You mentioned in there, you said, you know, we go to brunch together. And even people in the comments were like, you used the word brunch. Your response is so funny. It's like, you know, what's the problem? Was the, you know, they were saying, you know, your response is so anecdotal. And you're like, remind me what the word anecdotal means. Dude, it's clown. It's a circus behavior with these responses on here. But, you know, yeah, I go to brunch with Zeke, man.
Listen, I've got 18 years of law enforcement experience. A cop locker room, we make fun of each other worse than anything else out there. Yeah. We're more sarcastic with each other than anything. If you're going to come at me, you'd better know what you're doing, because I've got 18 years worth of experience of fighting off comments in the locker room. You know, that's how we blow off steam before we go out to work. That's how we take care of business. And as far as brunch goes, hey, listen, I got brunch this weekend with a bunch of friends. You know, they got like there's a steak place by me that's got a nice little steak brunch going on. And listen, I'll riot if you try to take that away from me. I might be the only one walking down the street flipping over trash cans, but I will riot if you try to take that away from me. I love the steaks from that place.
Let me go back to something that you alluded to earlier. You mentioned BLM. And speaking of riots, you know, I think you talk about people waking up. I think that a lot of men, a lot of black men, are waking up to the fact that BLM was not their friend. BLM did more to victimize, I think, black women and make them feel like they're more oppressed. And it kind of marginalized black men as being evil. Did you see that at all? Did you pay attention to any of that trend at all? Did you see that, or was that just me?
No, absolutely. BLM's message was all about how, as a black woman, you don't need a man. You don't need a father. You can take care of everything. Yeah. The entire BLM message from the three founders, who were all black women, basically made men seem like they were an option rather than a need or a foundation for a family. And I think a lot of black men looked at that and went, hey, wait a minute. You know, we're tired of being called no good. We're tired of being called useless. We're tired of being made fun of. We're tired of being scapegoated. You know, you want us to fight for you, but you're not fighting back for us. So I think a lot of black men looked at that, and I think that's actually what started a lot of black men sort of looking towards the more conservative side and saying, you know, let me hear what they have to say. Because if the Democrats are saying that I'm not needed, and BLM are saying that I'm not needed, and I'm being made fun of, you know, let me go and see what the other side has to say. And that's why, you know, I spend a lot of time trying to talk to especially black men about this and going, hey, listen, you can be fathers. You can be big brothers in your neighborhood. You know, as I'm a dad, you know, I for a while I was a big brother in my community where I worked. And I sponsored a lot of people. I said, hey, listen, you know, you can stand up and you can do more for your neighborhood. You can do more for your family. And my wish, my hope, is that the Republicans, especially leading up to a crucial election that we have coming up, really take this opportunity to go into some of these neighborhoods and go, hey, listen, we have a message for you. Mm. You know, we can help out. We can do what we can. We can bring jobs to the neighborhood. We can bring opportunity. We can build businesses here. All the stuff BLM said they were going to do and haven't done, give us a shot. We can do it. But it's up to the Republicans now to do it. You know, you with the old leadership of the Republican Party, they were content to really just sit around and go, you know, hey, listen, you know, we're doing everything we can. Meanwhile, they weren't doing a blessed thing. Romney McDaniels didn't do a blessed thing. So she now she stepped down. Now there's new leadership. Hopefully, the Republicans can really start working on their message and start working on their recruitment and saying, you know, hey, listen, unemployment is up in this neighborhood. Businesses are leaving. Shoplifting is up. There's lawlessness. There's gangs. There's violence. Vote for us. Let us take a shot at this and see what happens. If you don't like us, you can go right back to voting Republican, Democrat. Yeah. But for the time being, give us a shot. What do you have to lose?
Hey guys, let's take just a second here to share some information that I think might change your life. Right now, there's a silent epidemic affecting 100 million Americans that nobody wants to talk about. It's called a fatty liver. That's right. We throw everything every day at our livers, cholesterol, alcohol, toxins, heavy metals, statins, cigarettes, you name it. That's why so many of us have a sluggish, fatty liver. It makes us gain weight, makes us lose energy. It may affect us in such a way that it may put a risk at our heart health as well. That's why it's important for you to start protecting your liver today. Now, you can do that with something I love, and that's Liver Health Formula. It's an all-natural supplement which contains 11 clinically proven botanicals that will help recharge and protect your liver. Now, this company has already helped more than 2 million fellow Americans with their products, and they're a proud sponsor of this show for well over a year now. Now, you can try Liver Health Formula, and with that, you're going to receive 5 free gifts. That's right, you heard me correct. 5 free in total gifts. I want you to go to GetLiverHelp.com/Chad. Claim your free bonus gifts with your order today. Where? That's GetLiverHelp.com/Chad. Back to the show.
You know, if you go back and you watch the old movies about New York City, I mean, you go back in the 70s and 80s, watch, you know, anything from a Charles Bronson movie to whatever. You know, it was like you made you scared to be in the big city. You know, there was some evil things going on in New York. Rudy Giuliani, he kind of broke that stereotype when he was America's mayor. He cleaned up New York City, and look at how they vilified him because of his connection to Trump. You look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump built the skyline of New York, and now you got Letitia James who's trying to take his properties away, you know, in this unfounded, unprecedented case where they say he can't do business in New York, got to get rid of all of his assets. I mean, you look at these men who made New York great for a generation. I mean, truly made it great, cleaned up the streets, reduced the crime, made it beautiful, a fun place to go, a safe place to go. And now look at it now. I mean, look at it now under deep blue Democrat leadership, if you want to call it leadership. I don't want to go to New York. I don't, you kind of dread the thought of having to go now because it's a completely different place. So in one generation, you look at what they've brought back or brought down. I said the other day on Twitter or X, I said, I think Letitia James, my theory is if she could get Trump Tower, that's where they'd start housing illegals. I think that would be a perfect solution in their mind, right? And people are like, it would never happen, but that's a good theory. I mean, why not? If they got properties, they're not going to start bringing, you know, veterans in there. They're not going to start bringing in single moms or black families. They're not going to do that. They're going to focus on these illegals that are coming in there. So, you know, you look at these big cities across the country, every deep blue city has got its problems. Chicago, you mentioned earlier, Kathy Hochul wanting to give those jobs. Look at Oregon, look at Illinois, look at California. I think I'm right in that. They're wanting to give police jobs to illegals, not to mention put them in the military. I mean, what in the world could possibly go wrong with something like that? When you look at the landscape of this country and where it's gone, surely eyes are being opened when, you know. And again, it's like, look, here's our choices. You got Trump and Biden. And I look at Biden, who eulogized a grandmaster of the KKK, Robert Byrd, as being, you know, one of the finest men he ever knew. You know, he goes on Charlemagne's show and says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. He's got his made up corn pop story. He talks about his, you know, racial jungles. He talks about controlling the Negro. All of this stuff that's come out of Joe Biden's mouth. Then you got Donald Trump, who has, you know, built city parks, who's dated black women. Donald Trump has a clunky way of saying things. I'll give him that. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's not always the most eloquent person the way he says something. But you look at his history. I mean, he actually funded Jesse Jackson's presidential run. So who are you going to look at and say, all right, I'm a black man, I'm a black woman, and I'm going to make this guy, you know, this iconic guy that's been rapped about in black music and more than anybody else in history, and all of a sudden I'm going to turn around and say, this is the bad guy, right? This is the guy that everybody praised from Don King to Snoop Dogg, and you're going to say, this is the bad guy? How do you make sense of stuff like that?
Me personally, I don't. I mean, listen, the second Joe Biden said, if you can't figure out whether you're going to vote for me, you ain't black, he should have gotten 0% of the black vote. On principle, like, if nothing else, but on principle, no black person should have voted for him. I mean, and I've always said, too, imagine if Trump had actually said that. If you can't figure out if you're going to vote for me or not, then you ain't black. If he went on a black radio show and said that, Trump, They would be riots in the street. CNN would have a month-long special. They'd bring in Al Sharpton, Sean King, everybody. Oh, how did you feel when Donald Trump said what he said? And they would pretend like their house had just been bombed. Oh, I can't believe he went on TV. My children needed therapy after he said that. You know, so, you know, I personally don't understand this. Like you said, you know, you've got this choice between these two people. Trump, who on day, even before he was elected president, sat down with black leaders and said, hey, listen, what do you need? Talk to me. Yeah. While he was running for re-election, sat down with Ice Cube and said, hey, listen, talk to me about your platinum plan. See how we can do this. Mm. While Biden specifically said, no, I have nothing to say to you until after the election, and then never met with him. So you have Trump, who they're trying as hard as they can to paint as this raging racist, but who has done nothing of the sort. And then you've got Biden, who every other week, it seems, he seems to say something. And you're like, wait, did he really just say that? Did he really just say black people are too stupid to use the internet? You know,
right.
You know, so you look at Democrat policies across America, whether it be in New York, whether it be in Chicago, whether it be in Pittsburgh, where they can't, they have such a low amount of cops, they can't respond to certain jobs. You have New York City, where they're bleeding out cops. You have Seattle, where they can't find anyone to be a cop nowadays.
Right.
Chicago, same problem. Los Angeles, I think pretty much all of California, same problem. You know, there's a reason why the cops are leaving. There's a reason why violence is up in these cities. There's a reason why people feel hopeless in these cities. And it's because of Democrat policies. And like I said, you can't vote against law and order and still want law and order. You can't vote for socialists who are directly on the side of criminals. They make law after law restricting cops, but then take away law after law restricting criminals and think that somehow things are going to get better and people still want to vote for them. Who's voting for these people? Criminals and people who want to be criminals or people who love criminals. This is who's voting for them. If you want your city safe, if you want law and order, if you want your children to be able to play outside, if you want your children to be able to walk to school and have no problems, if you want better schools, voting towards a more conservative candidate is the way to go. And like I said, I just hope people start waking up to this, because if not, you're going to have certain pockets in the country, places like, you know, places in Texas, places in Florida, where there is law and order and people are safe and people are going to keep moving there. And then you're going to have the rest of the country where it's going to look like a barren third world wasteland. And you're going to have yourself to blame because you voted these people in.
Yeah. You look at it. God, there's so many things that I want to bring up, you know, from that. I'll just close out that topic about Joe Biden. I mean, when you got Joe Biden who makes that little PR commercial where he sits down with the black father and the two sons and they're eating fried chicken, can you imagine if Donald Trump had done that? I mean, my God, it would just, oh, wow. And then, you know, even back when he was running, you know, Pete Buttigieg goes in there with Al Sharpton and sits down and with fried chicken and they're going to discuss hot sauce. You can't make that shit up. And then you got just a couple of weeks ago, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, who goes to a black church in Alabama and talking about how, you know, talks down so condescending and patronizing about how you can't go, you know, you guys don't know how to go get a driver's license to have voter ID. I don't know how you make any sense of that unless you just say there's people in this world who just don't want the country to get better. I mean, they want the thing to crash and burn. And I guess there are a lot of people out there like that, because if I read your comments, read my comments, I have no other choice but to believe that, you know, that those folks are that way, you know. So It's a weird deal. You had mentioned, I heard on your chat with Charlie, and one of my heroes is Thomas Sowell, and you mentioned that he's one of yours as well. And man, I wish we could get the writings and the ideas of Thomas Sowell in all of our heads, you know, in all of our heads to help us understand, you know, just some common sense, you know. How has that impacted you? Like, what have you done with that? You know, how'd you even find Thomas Sowell?
I don't know how I found Thomas Sowell. I had a friend, Leonidas Johnson, who he was one of the first guys when I started tweeting on X. to sort of reach out to me and sort of start talking to me. And I think he might have recommended Thomas Sowell. And I just started reading a lot of his works. Either that or the documentary. There was a documentary that really got me started as far as being more conservative. It's called Runaway Slave. And I watched that, and it sort of really pushed me towards being more conservative. And then I watched the next documentary, Uncle Tom. Yeah. And I think I really started pulling stuff from that. But I started reading Thomas Sowell, and it was like I couldn't stop. I would read book after book, and it was almost like it just sort of just changed my life.
I
understood now why a lot of things happened. I went through basically his entire catalog. If you look at my library here, I've got my own little Thomas Sowell section, you know, with highlights and bookmarks and everything in there. And I go through it really frequently. You know, you can always tell the books that I read a lot because they're pretty beat up. I don't think I have a single mint condition Thomas Sowell book. If I ever meet him in real life and need him to autograph something, I got to go buy a new book, you know, because all his books are pretty beat up in my little library. But, I love the fact that I can pull a Thomas Sowell fact out of thin air. And I have someone who I work with who's a huge Bernie Sanders fan, which I don't understand how he's in law enforcement and a Bernie Sanders fan, but you know, the mental gymnastics there must be crazy. But every time he says something, I pretty much counter with a Sowell quote, and I can see the frustration on his face, and it gives me my own little sense of satisfaction.
Thomas
Sowell is a great man. I actually found out he went to high school with my grandfather.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather is the greatest man I know. So I can see where that knowledge comes from.
Yeah. Obviously they went to a good school.
Yeah, Stuyvesant High School, back when it was actually a really good, high-quality school before de Blasio screwed it up. But, they both went to Stuyvesant High School. And, you know, I have his books on audio as well. So even when I'm in my car coming back and forth from work, I've got about an hour commute every day. So I go through about an hour of Thomas Sowell on a daily basis.
I love that. That's how you disciple your mind. And I say that to myself. I'm listening to Vince Ellison's newest audio book right now. And I mean, just the solid common sense there, because I've always been fiscally a conservative, but socially I was pretty liberal, right? I wanted people just to live their life and do the thing that they wanted to do and just kind of leave people alone. I understood that. I wanted people to have all the rights they could have, you know, but then it just pushed so far the other direction. I mean, and from what I hear from you and what I've seen of you, I don't think that you just said, I'm going to wake up and be a right-wing extremist. I'm going to be some conservative. I've never seen you necessarily label yourself that way. So, when people say, oh, you've just become some wild-eyed, crazy, you know, right-wing conservative. No, I think, Zeke, you just have common sense. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, technically, I label myself more of a conservatarian.
Yeah,
because there's a lot with the libertarians I agree with. There's a lot with the conservatives I agree with. You know, I guess I'm somewhere in the middle of the both of them. Yeah. But I like telling this story because it sort of kickstarted me on the way to how I feel today. I had just graduated from college. I was at a family reunion, and my great granddad was there. My great granddad was a guy in North Carolina who grew up during the 1920s, and he told me. I was going off about how this is racist and that's racist. You know, I just graduated college. I thought that I was smarter than anybody at the table. And, my great-granddad, who grew up when the Klan was actually like a thing, you know, when they were a legitimate threat. And he'd seen violence towards black people. And he'd seen a few lynchings in his life. He stopped me. He put his hand on my hand, stopped me. And he said, always be the last person to call something racist. Because if you call everything racist, then nothing is racist. But if you save that for when something truly is racist, it means more. It's got more impact. And then he stopped and he changed the subject. He just started talking about something else, you know, the way a Southern gentleman would do. And, you know, for a week, I was pretty butthurt, you know. For a week, you know, I'm sitting there like, how is he going to tell me, you know, about this? You know, I graduate from college, you know. I don't think he's even got a high school diploma. How is he going to tell me? And then that little voice in the back of my mind just kind of went, wait a minute. He grew up in 1920s Virginia in North Carolina. Yeah. Who are you to tell him about anything? And so I went, yeah, you know what? He's right. And I guess that sort of really sparked me on my way. Another conversation I had with my mom. I grew up, you know, my father was around, and that's all he was. You know, I say I had a single mom because my mom did everything. My mom, you know, did homework with us and went to PTA meetings and worked a full-time job and took care of me and my brothers. And my father just sort of popped in and out when he felt like it and expected to be congratulated and praised for every small, slight thing he did. But, you know, I remember I being angry one day and I said to my mom, you know, I didn't have a good father and I didn't have this growing up and I didn't have that experience growing up and it was hard doing this growing up. And my mom said, you know what? You're 100% right. Now get over it. And again, I was pretty butthurt for a while. I was like, you know, hey, you know, how it's her fault. How is she to tell me? But then my mom came to me later on and said, you know what? No one's going to care that you didn't have this and you didn't have that. It's what you're doing now and what you're going to do in the future that people care about. And I guess between those two things, I sort of started looking towards, okay, if I'm wrong about this and I'm wrong in how I believe and I'm wrong in my victimization, what else am I wrong about? And I think that's when I really start reading some books and looking up facts and really trying to figure out what's going on in this crazy world of ours. And it wasn't until after I became a cop and started hanging out with cops and started talking to cops and getting some of their viewpoints that I said, let me look up more facts. And I guess I sort of red-pilled myself. So it definitely wasn't an overnight sensation. I didn't just wake up on a Tuesday and go, hey, I'm a conservative. It was a process. It was a long process. And there was a lot of fight back from me because, you know, growing up in certain communities, you're used to looking at yourself as a victim. But when I found out I was wrong about a lot of things, I said, well, let me get right. And I did.
Yeah. You know, what I've said to my friends, and in my mind has been discipled by friends like Brandon Tatum and Larry Elder and, you know, Alan West, Jesse Peterson. I'm friends with those men. Chad O, I'm friends with those guys. And I listen to what they have to say. I listen to their stories. I listen to what they've been through. And there's no doubt that everybody goes through something in life that you could say, well, I was victimized by this, or this was a form of oppression, or this hurt me, or this scarred me. But we have such a victim mentality, regardless of his race or a gender issue or a socioeconomic status or what your dad did to you or Uncle Charlie did. I don't know. It's everybody's got a story, and everybody tends to define themselves by their scars, right? Everybody wants to show off their scars. I love the fact that people can emerge victorious and say, listen, I don't care about the labels. You can label me whatever you want to label me. This is truth. I'm embracing this, and this is what's not only empowering me, it's empowering those around me. So I appreciate voices, you know, like your own, who have just said, you know, to hell with the critics. The critics are going to criticize you no matter what. You know, I can post a funny video or a meme or something, and somebody's going to criticize it. Like I joke about, Shy'll appreciate this. Shy's from Singapore. He's a legal immigrant. I love this dude over here. I can see him. I call him my unseen Singaporean. Everybody just hears his voice. But back in 2015, I think it was, I posted a joke. It's still one of my favorite jokes. I said that the word karate is just Japanese for my kid can't hit a curveball. So that pissed a lot of people off, man. Like 15,000 reactions, I think, on Facebook. There were a lot of comments. People were pissed off. And I was like, it's a joke, right? But everybody's disagreement started popping out, and the internet is the worst place for that. It really is. But you know, I love the fact that you just speak common sense. I think Zeke, your platform is going to grow and grow and grow because you're so bold, man. And do you see yourself ever not being a cop and maybe doing like Brandon Tatum is a perfect example? I mean, he was a cop, and then next thing you know, he's got this huge platform. I mean, what do you think the future holds for you? You willing to do that? Give that up?
Oh, yeah.
Can absolutely. You even say that? Can you say it publicly? I don't even know.
No, absolutely. Definitely. I'm actually winding down in my law enforcement career. Yeah. And I would love to go into commentary full time. Brandon Tatum is someone I don't know if he's ever heard of me, but
he's
I see him.
Yeah,
I see him like a kindred spirit. I read his book. I love a lot of his stories. I saw him at the Blexit event in New York, and I love his how he speaks. I love his mind, fellow law officer. So, I would love to go into commentary. I love the reactions I get because I can tell when I'm starting to break through to certain people, and the angrier they get, the more fun I have with it. You know, I always say you can be angry all you want, but let's talk after that. And some people have taken me up on that. Some people haven't. You know, the pinned post to my ex account is me just talking about my neighbors. I have a bunch of neighbors I hang out with. Some of them are cops as well. And we all just have fun. And people are like, oh, but, you know, you can't say they don't see color. Well, yeah, okay, yes. We know the race of each other. You know, my neighbor isn't going to show up to my house. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You were Asian this whole time, you know? one of my neighbors actually was my partner on my job. Yeah. And our nickname was Team Rush Hour because he's Chinese, you know, and of course I'm black. So they didn't even call us by our sector or car name. They would just go Rush Hour, and we were both, you know, everybody understood, you know. But it was funny because, you know, he's probably the best partner I've ever had. We worked really well together, and, you know, we could all take a joke. We all understood, you know, it's not that we're emphasizing each other's color. We're making fun of it. We're having a great time with it. And I would rather hang out with people like that. I'd rather hang out with people who they can see your color, but they don't care. You're just a human being to them. You know, our daughters play together. My daughter's a little older than his daughter. They play together. They have fun together. There's a bunch of other people in this neighborhood. You know, we all have fun. We all hang out. You know, our race doesn't matter to each other. But you've got a certain segment of the country, they want to emphasize race. It has to be like the foremost thing on their mind. They're not an American. They're a black American. They're not a Christian. They're a black Christian. Who cares? Who cares? Are you really going to separate yourself by that? If you have to put your race before everything, you are a boring person. And I'll say it to people, you're boring. Because if I were to take that away from you, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
So I would love to go into commentary. I would love to keep putting my message out, my word out. I would love to. I love doing stuff like this. You know, I love meeting new people and doing podcasts and talking to people. So, yeah, I mean, my law enforcement career is winding down, and my wife is definitely going to be looking for me to do something because she already told me I can't sit around the house all day, even though I would want to. But I would love to expand and do stuff and talk to people. You know, it's one of the things I love the most about my platform being as large as it is.
Yeah. Well, you're fun, Zeke, and you have a lot of wisdom, man. And I really appreciate that. I mean, just the nuggets of truth you've dropped on here today. We're gonna make clip after clip out of this. So I'm gonna milk you, man. We go use you, dude. But I am gonna send. I'm gonna send Brandon and Corinne, his wife. I'm gonna send them a message and remind them about you. And because I think you need to be doing that. I think your voice is valuable. I think it needs to be heard. Because again, you're not, you know, like anybody else, we don't walk into a restaurant, start looking around and asking people who they voted for before we eat there. So we don't do that with skin color. It doesn't cross our minds. It shouldn't. And if you do, then you really are you're a statistical non-entity in the population of the United States, because by and large, we're not a racist country. We've been a racist country. We're not a racist country. We've moved past that kind of stuff. And there's different folks out there on both sides who are doing everything they can to keep that propped up, which is a bunch of BS, if you ask me. And I love what you said a second ago. If you got to put your skin color before who you are, and that's your identifier, well, I think you're identifying yourself as a victim because of your skin color. And you shouldn't do that. You're not going to get ahead in life that way. That's for certain. So, you know, I appreciate the perspective. And you know, I And at the same time, man, like I want us to be able to get together, hang out, and not talk about black issues or, you know, Asian hate or BLM or, you know, white oppression or supremacy or any of this nonsense. Like, let's just be buddies and hang out and talk about what's going on in the world. Let's sit around and make fun of Joe Biden's old ass. Like, that's I mean, that dude, he's white. He's translucent. You can see through him. So I don't know. I think that as people embrace some common sense and their eyes are open and whatever you want to call it, red pilled, you know, I can remember back texting with Candace Owens years ago when she was still making videos on a little camera phone set up in front of her in her attic, you know, and she was doing her Myth of the Coon videos up there. And I talking to her, and now, you know, look where she's exploded to, and it's crazy. To watch that, but I think people are starving for some common sense is what I'm trying to say. You got a bunch of it, man. So you worked a double shift last night. We got to get you to where you can make money not working. We got to make a living just running our mouth, man. That's the American dream right there. But no, seriously, I appreciate you. Appreciate what you do, man. And there's so many people out there. Are you guys seeing as a police officer, as a law enforcement officer, are you seeing, is it getting harder and harder to find good people to put on the force?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's one of my main concerns as far as the future of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a state where they're letting illegals join the police department, or in a city where they're letting illegals join the police department, you know, I worry about the quality of the people who are going to join, just because, first of all, they didn't even do the process to get into the country legally. You mean to tell me they're now going to do the process to follow the law impartially?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have all these departments who they're facing such staffing crises now that they can't even maintain their standards. You know, they're getting rid of the mile and a half run. They're getting rid of the physical standards. They're getting rid of the legal standards. You know, oh, you know what? Well, if you have a misdemeanor, we'll let you join. You know, was it an okay misdemeanor? Okay, you just beat someone up. All right, we'll let you join. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
No, you know, you can't be a cop. You know, and how's that going to work? You know, what if you run into the cop who arrested you all those years ago? You know, hey, remember me? You put the cuffs on me. You know, so it's one thing I worry about with the future of the job. You know, I support law enforcement. I support good law enforcement. Let me make that clear. I support cops who got into the job for the right reason. I support cops who understand that their duty is to the Constitution and to the people, not to a politician, not to a certain idea. But it's something I do worry about, and I really hope things get better in some of these cities where they're having these staffing crises. But like I said, in order to do that, you're going to have to vote differently. You can't vote for someone like Bill de Blasio, where he's going to take a decidedly anti-cop stance and think that things will get better. You can't vote for a Democrat socialist. You can't vote for an AOC and hope things will get better, because their activism, their ideas are going to come before the duty to their job. They're going to try to turn this place into 1950s Cuba before they turn it into New York City, a thriving New York City, or a thriving Chicago, or a thriving LA. You know, you had that psychopath in I think it was San Francisco, who basically said he was a DA. He basically said, I'm on the side of criminals. I'm going to do everything to empower criminals. And the people heard this and they still voted for him. And they wound up having to recall him because he did such a piss poor job. Well, that's going on in a lot of blue cities across America. And unless things get better, things are going to get much, much worse.
Yeah, and that's the sad part. I've said for years now, we don't have red states anymore because we got too many blue cities. All of our cities have turned blue. The saving grace for a place like Texas is while all of our big cities are blue, Fort Worth is on the cusp, but all of our big cities are basically blue. We at least have about a dozen cities over 100,000 in the rest of the state that are decidedly red, and that's the saving grace for places like Texas and places like Florida. But the rest of the country can't say that, you know. And You know, whether it's, you know, whether it's Colin Kaepernick putting pigs on his socks, or all cops are, you know, defund the police nonsense. When you have decidedly anti-police legislation and activism, as you said, out there, I wouldn't want to join that. I wouldn't want to go do that job. I wouldn't want to. That's why every time I'm on stage in front of a live audience, I have this thing that I always say. I said, we got people that pin a badge on every day and kiss their families goodbye and just pray they get to come home at the end of a shift. I said, there's people out there who say, well, there's bad cops. Well, there's bad sex too, but I don't turn any down. You know, like we got to have this stuff, man. Like this. And so I love our law enforcement community. I do. The good and the bad and the ugly, yes, got to be cleaned up. But man, how bad do you think it's going to be when people who should not have that authority or have that power are on the job? You know, I've said for years and years, there should be two jobs in America that are harder to get and they should be better compensated. One is an educator and another's a police officer. And they're willing to take everybody for these things these days. So it's a sad deal. All right, you're going to brunch this weekend and at the steak place. How much protein do you eat? Do you pay attention to stuff like that when you're eating? Because you're a big dude.
Actually,
when I say big dude, I mean muscle big dude. Y'all can't tell right now on this. You go to his Twitter, you'll follow him, you'll see what the hell I'm talking about.
Actually, I do. I get made fun of at work because I look up my macros. I put everything into a calculator.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not even like a bodybuilder. I lift, and I make sure I have a lot of functional strength because I do work with bodybuilders, and they you know, if we get into a foot pursuit, about a block into it, they're like, okay, he got me. Mm-hmm. He's done, and I'm still running. You know, so I train for function. I train just for strength. I train so that I don't get my ass kicked by some random criminal and wind up going viral for the wrong reasons. You know, because they would, I think the criminals would love to put me on World Star. You know, here's this, you know, 6'2", 265 pound cop, and we kicked his ass in the middle of the street. So, Charles Barkley will go back and go, oh, okay, I'll punch him now, you know.
Fine, let's go. Hey, two quick stories before I let you go. I want your take on it. So, a couple of months ago, this was last year, there was a clip that came out. We made fun of it where I think it was Chicago. The security camera caught these five women police officers, and they were trying to apprehend this guy. I think they got the cuff on one wrist. You remember that clip? And finally, he just walked away. Like, he fought him off. Those girls were doing everything they could to stop this guy. And finally, he just walked around the corner with the handcuffs still on one wrist. He just left. Did you see that?
Sorry.
I mean, that dude, oh my gosh. So I get it when you're saying, I don't want to be on World Star doing something like that. Because I'm with you. Like, I always say, listen, I'm not in the greatest shape, but I can get down at any given time and do 25, 30 push-ups with no problem. When I get to the point where I can't do that, I'm in trouble. I want functional strength. I'm 51 years old. When I'm 80, I want to have some muscle that still serves the purposes. You know, I don't need to show off for anybody at this point in time, but I got to eat more protein when I see you. The other thing is, recently they had this clip, and I hate this clip, where I think the girl's dead now. I think she died, where the girl, they got in the fight there at the school, and she bashed her head into the concrete.
Yeah.
And then Libs of TikTok, Kaya Rashik, she revealed this school, how, like, the police officers and security just wrote a letter back to the school, said, we absolutely are not going to work with the school because they were forcing police officers to take DEI training, DEI testing and all of this stuff before they could even work at that school. And so now the school basically has had no security, and it's just fights and violence at this school every day. Have you run into stuff like that where DEI requirements are becoming a bigger and bigger thing?
Oh, absolutely. I've proudly been kicked out of a few DEI classes myself.
Good.
Because I'll become the peanut gallery. The last DEI class I had to take was, there was an older white instructor who was lecturing the class about how cops were the original slave catchers and cops were evil during the 50s. So, I raised my hand. I said, hey, listen, two questions. First of all, can you show me exactly where cops were the original slave catchers? Can you show me historical context where they were doing that? And he kind of, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't know about that. You know, I said, okay. And, sir, let me just ask you a quick question, if you don't mind. Who did you vote for in the last election? Did you vote for a Republican or did you vote for a Democrat? And so he proudly stood up and said, well, I voted for a Democrat. I said, well, that brings me to my point where you say cops were evil in the 1950s. You do realize the cops in Alabama who were spraying fire hoses and Bull Connor in the 50s, you do realize he was a Democrat. So you're perpetuating the racism and the violence of the 50s by voting Democrat. So he, no. Then he tried to do the whole party switch, and I shut him down with that too. So after that, he asked me to leave, and I gladly got up and left. But so I've been kicked out of more than a few DEI classes myself. But listen, my daughter's 8 years old. My biggest nightmare is for her to go to a school where she's facing violence. Yeah. My daughter's biracial. My wife's complexion. So my biggest nightmare is for her to face violence or someone attacks her because she's not their definition of what a black person is, you know, quote unquote. So every time I see these videos, it's sort of, you know, that fatherly worry meter goes off. But, you know, it's like I said, a conversation does need to be had in this country as far as moving forward, our children, the violence our children are seeing, the violence our children are experiencing, who's perpetuating a lot of this violence, and how do we stop it? And like I said, a lot of it is law and order. You start putting some of the bad actors in jail, and you keep them in jail, and you don't worry about equity and inclusion, and you don't worry about how the criminals feel and their feelings being hurt. You get in there, you do what needs to be done. You protect our children. You protect, you know, our women. You make sure that everybody is okay. And to me, from what I've seen, the problem will take care of itself. Once people start going away for these kind of assaults, once people start facing real consequences, once you get rid of equity, because equity doesn't do anything significant,
right,
you'll start seeing results. And that's what we need to be doing as a country.
That's a good word. It's a good place to stop right there. Zeke, let me tell you something, man. You're always welcome here. I appreciate you. It's great to meet you. Like I said, I've been following you. I reached out to you. You responded right back. Thank you for that. You know, I really do appreciate that because I know in the days ahead, it's going to get harder and harder to get you nailed down because you're going to be a busy dude. I'm telling you, this platform, your voice is going to be amplified in a bigger, bigger way. And I'm thankful for that. I really am. So I can say, man, I remember when Zeke was just talking to me on stream on Skype, and look at him now. He's vice president. I love it, dude. I appreciate
man. They would hate me. The left would come after me with all the knives.
Hey, just wait till they see you talking to a white dude in a cowboy hat. It's going to be fun in the days ahead. It's going to be fun.
No, I love it.
I appreciate you. It's good stuff, man. Thank you for your common sense. Thank you for your wisdom, your boldness, your outspokenness. I appreciate it. I want everybody to follow Zeke. Just go ahead and follow him and keep up with everything that he's doing. And not only follow him, but make sure you put a notification on there so you see what he says first. So you will not be disappointed when he's one of those guys that doesn't waste words. I waste a lot of words. He doesn't waste words. He gets right to the point and is solid. So, Zeke, thank you for that. And make sure you follow him. He's got big stuff coming up. There's going to be a lot of podcasting in his future, his own stuff, his own show. So be sure you're following all of those things that he's up to, man. Hey, guys, listen, before you get out of here, don't forget ratings and reviews. We love them. And we want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you want to find me on Rumble, you go over to Watch Chad. That's the channel, Watch Chad. Chad Prather show, the Chad Prather page is a little bit kind of messed up. We got to work that out with Rumble. But go to Watch Chad. You can catch these episodes there. And also, obviously, if you want to just listen to me and not look at me, you can go wherever podcasts are offered, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, all the places. And listen to me while you're doing the laundry or whatever it is you're doing. And I just know that I appreciate you. I love you. And pray for Zeke. Pray for me. Pray for all of us, man. Our country's in a mess, and it's going to take common sense and a whole new generation to bring us back. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.